And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. You're very welcome along to another week of the 9 till noon show. It's 9:05 on this Monday. It is the 11th of November. How are you all keeping? I do hope you're very well indeed. I hope you had a nice weekend and woke up feeling good on this fresh Monday morning across the Northwest. Right, we have a busy show as always for you. Lots to get through, covering stuff that's in the news, covering stuff that's important to you, and features and conversation all over the next 3 hours. 086 60 25 000. That's the WhatsApp and text number, 086 60 25 000, or give us a call in 07491 25 000, or if you want to email, it's comments@highlandradio.com. And you can also watch the show across our social media platforms on YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland, which means if you wish, you can watch it on your smart TV or Fire Stick, and we're on Facebook. Okay, let's see what's making the front pages of the papers today. The Derry People Donegal News. The Taoiseach Simon Harris will be in Donegal today as the general election campaign swings firmly into gear. He'll visit Letterkenny later this afternoon. He'll then stop off in Ballybofane, Stranorlar, as part of a visit to the northwest. It comes just 3 days after the Dáil was dissolved on Friday and the general election officially called for November the 29th, that being the Friday, of course. Mr. Harris has already visited a number of constituencies around the country over the past number of days, and his trip to Donegal will be a timely boost to the election campaigns of his party's candidates here, Senators Nicky Bradley and John McNulty. He's not a senator, sorry, the way I phrased that, it sounded like he was. There'll be a walkabout of Letterkenny's main street with the Fine Gael delegation starting out their canvass at Hatched Coffee Shop at Upper Main Street at 4:30 p.m. And what's interesting, actually, I think in relation to his visit, is there was a period of time whereby party leaders' visits were closely guarded as to where they might be. I think it was to do with protests and that type of stuff. Even we wouldn't have been privy to all the details, but this is all out there, and it'll be interesting to see what other leaders make their way to Donegal. Of course, we had Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou McDonald up last week. Maybe that was her visit as part of the election. And she was in studio with us here and had a chat. And who else might there be up? I don't know, the Vain 2 leader, Padraig Tobin's coming up, or Fianna Fáil leader, Micheál Martin. We'll see. We'll see. The Derry News this morning. Upwards of 2,000 people attended a rally for women's safety in Derry's Guildhall Square in protest against recent attacks on women in the city and district. The rally on Friday night began with photographs of the 24 women murdered in the north since 2020 being held aloft on the Guildhall steps. 24 since the start of this decade. That's a shocking and almost unbelievable figure. The rally was organised following a spate of reported sexual assaults in the city, including two knife point attacks on November 1st and November 2nd. The PSNI believe that two attacks may be linked. Following the attacks, an increased high visibility police presence in key areas has been put in operation. And since, and this is what happens when you talk about things out loud and there's more publicity of it, it seems that more women are coming forward having been followed or threatened or not feeling safe or what have you, their own circumstances where they feel after the fact that they perhaps had a lucky escape or what have you. If that's something you continue to want to talk about, if you're coming to us from Derry, 00353 86 60 25 000. We'll go on to the Nationals, and I mean, you know, if you're going to invite Michael O'Leary to launch your election campaign, you know what you're going to get, don't you? Well, he's caused controversy for Fine Gael, and any party at this stage, they don't want to be apologising. You know, that's we've seen that in the United States elections as well. When you've got things that are being launched today, maybe you're launching a manifesto, maybe you want to hit the media with certain points and what have you, the last thing you want to do is see a controversy on the front pages. And that's what's happened to Fine Gael today. Fine Gael is scrambling to limit the damage caused by a room full of party supporters roaring with laughter as Ryanair chief Michael O'Leary mocked teachers. Mr. O'Leary was launching the election campaign of Enterprise Minister Peter Burke when he said he wouldn't employ a lot of teachers if he wanted to get things done. Mr. Burke has been forced to distance himself from Mr. O'Leary's comments, which were followed by cheers and laughter from those who attended the event in Mullingar, County Westmeath. And that's it, you see. If he had said it and there was gasps or oohs and ahs in the room, they may have had less damage from it, but there was laughter and cheers, which is not a good look. Taoiseach Simon Harris insisted teachers were the backbone of Irish society and said Mr. O'Leary should stick to running Ryanair. However, Mr. Harris's comments came amid a flurry of criticism from his political rivals, who said the footage of O'Leary disparaging teachers showed how Fine Gael viewed the average worker. The Irish National Teachers Organisation described the comments as outrageous and an insult to the dedication and hard work of our teachers. On to the Irish Times now, and that story covered on the front of it, the top story as well. But further down, An Garda Síochána is to significantly expand its monitoring of social media accounts to, in an effort to combat online child abuse, far-right violence and other serious offences. And I think what's interesting in this, in that various different things have been sort of grouped together there. Firstly, in relation to any abuse of children, I think there is not a person in this country that would not love to see every resource of An Garda Síochána online to ensure that that is not happening. But then to sort of throw it in there with far-right violence and other serious offences, those are two areas where there can be a little bit of ambiguity, and it's what you might view as far-right or not far-right. You know, words that may be offensive to some might not be to others. And I think that area is a little bit more grey in terms of enforcement. Open source intelligence, which involves analysing public data sources, including social media activity, has been a part of Garda investigations for many years. It's been used in many prosecutions, including rape and murder, to tie the suspects to the scene of crimes or establish their connections with other criminals. Social media posts have recently formed a key part of investigations into the Dublin riots in November 2023. Gardaí have been gathering posts of people claiming to be involved in the riots and those accused of inciting the violence. A number of people are before the courts on related charges. And I note there's a couple of the more outspoken people, probably right-leaning on social media, who recently received a notification from Twitter, or X as it's now known, that Gardaí were seeking access to their accounts, login details, passwords, previous posts, that type of stuff. So it's something that's actually ongoing at the moment. On to the Irish Daily Mail and a decision by Michelle O'Neill, which is going to be divisive. Some people are going to say it's the way forward. Others are going to believe it's a sellout. That's the joy of topics. People have different points of view. Stormont First Minister Michelle O'Neill has participated in the Remembrance Sunday ceremony at Belfast City Hall, the first time a senior Sinn Féin figure has taken part in such an event in Northern Ireland. Ms O'Neill, who said her attendance is a demonstration of her determination to fulfil her pledge to be a First Minister for all, laid a laurel wreath at the Cenotaph in Belfast. A message on the wreath read, "As First Minister, I wish to take our society beyond old limits to build bridges and to a shared future together. Today I remember all lives lost in the horror of war and conflict, past and present," though the poppy also represents soldiers who would have served in Northern Ireland. It's not just about the First and Second World Wars. Miss O'Neill attended the commemoration alongside Deputy First Minister Emma Little-Pengelly of the DUP, who also laid a wreath. Hundreds of people lined the streets outside City Hall as UK Armed Forces members participated in the ceremony. So again, she did commit to be a representative for all, but for some supporters or non-supporters, that might just be a step too far for them. Back to the elections here in the Republic. The Irish Daily Star points out that nearly 60,000 youngsters who turned 18 in the last year are being urged to make sure their voices are heard by ensuring they are registered to vote. Just interested, if you are a younger person, are you registering to vote? Are you keen to vote if you turned 18 since the last election? And also too, mums and dads and granny and granddads out there, I mean, are you encouraging your young people to vote? And sort of trying to relate the importance to them of voting or not. Because at the end of the day, what happens is we know the demographics of people that vote. And what might happen there is you'll see policy statements and sort of incentives out there to appeal to those that are likely to vote. I mean, if a lot of 18 to 21 year olds aren't going to vote, how much time in your election campaign are you going to dedicate to things that are important to them? And that's kind of a little bit of a problem. Well, the National Youth Council of Ireland is urging all eligible young voters to register before the deadline passes tomorrow. They said this includes the 60,000 who are eligible for the first time and more than 600,000 who are in the 18 to 29 age bracket. Catherine Walsh, NYCI's Director for Policy and Advocacy, said Ireland's youth population is growing and there are over 600,000 young people aged 18 to 29 eligible to register to vote in Ireland. Now, that's massive. I mean, if they did register en masse and vote in a certain way, it really could have a massive impact on the outcome of the election. But how many will? I don't know. A very unusual story, and thankfully it's unusual, coming from Hungary. An Irishman arrested over the murder of a US woman in Hungary made internet searches for "Do pigs really eat dead bodies?" police have alleged. US nurse Mackenzie Michalski, just 31, had been on holiday in Budapest with friends when she went missing last Monday night following a meal at a restaurant. Her alleged killer, who is in his 30s and was identified only by his initials, was arrested by Hungarian detectives within 24 hours of her disappearance. Footage surfaced yesterday of the suspect being photographed and fingerprinted at a police station in the capital. Now, it's alleged that this lady was on holiday with friends but stayed an extra night. And had disappeared, didn't check out of the Airbnb. They trawled through CCTV footage and found a video of her in one nightclub engaging with this person, and then a second video in another nightclub that they had travelled to, and then they found evidence that she had gone back to his flat. He claims, he admitted it, but claims that it was an accident. But then he commissioned a suitcase and transported her body somewhere else. He's in police custody now, and a terrific story. Finally, the Irish Daily Mirror. Children's biggest social fears include being made fun of, left out and teased for how they look. A poll of 1,000 children aged 6 to 11, just 6 to 11, 29% worry about someone teasing them over the clothes they wear. That was a big thing for me, actually, when I do think back. 26% fret about being the only one in their class who wasn't invited to a party. Kind of feel like this is talking to me a little bit in my youth. It also emerged 47% have found themselves in situations where they weren't sure if friends were joking with them or actually being mean. A third admitted that at some point they've felt as though they don't fit in, leaving them feeling sad, comfortable and awkward. So that's what's bothering 6 to 11 year olds. I do wonder, should we even be asking young people those questions or putting that kind of stuff in their heads and just let them be young and try and guide them not to feel those things? I don't know. Right, okay, we got a letter in by post, which they do come in. It's from an angry, self-titled angry Letterkenny resident. It reads as follows. I just had to highlight this problem since before Halloween and now after. We're being tortured by fireworks despite the guards being on the radio giving warnings about what would happen if anyone was found with fireworks, etc. But what I'd like to know is how many have actually been caught and how many are going to be prosecuted? Because as far as I can see, talk is cheap. They've done nothing. I have to say I'm totally disappointed. I live in the Letterkenny area. I pay property tax and can't even sit in front of my fire and watch TV in the evening in peace and quiet. These young ones and their parents know exactly that they are annoying people, but the parents aren't too busy running from the house to house drinking to even bother. Well, I can say if it doesn't stop, I'll be in contact with TUSLA. This might sound terrible, but the sooner one gets hurt, the better, as I know it'll only be them then that I can enjoy my home that I've worked hard for. Right? I mean, that's the review, right? And that came in sort of mid last week. Maybe it's died down a little bit now, but they were wondering, you know, what level of actual securing arrests or what have been made. Right, just a quick one before the break. Hi, just wondering why when I top up a council parking app, do they automatically take €1 for administration? Also, I was told today that if you pay your property tax in the office, they also take €1 administration charge. This is just an extra tax. So when I top up council parking app, they automatically take a quid for administration. So we thought we'd dig a little bit deeper and get an answer for that listener. In 2020, Donegal County Council procured Park Magic to provide a parking app that can be used in council-owned car parks and on-street parking bays where pay and display parking is applicable. The Donegal e-parking service lets you easily pay for parking right from your mobile phone. When a customer tops up to the value of €39 or less, a charge of €1 is applied by Park Magic, Charge Magic, to the customer's account. If a customer tops up by €40 or more, no charge is applied to the customer's account. The collection of property tax is a matter for revenue. Understand that, but you can understand also too whilst why we as the public might make a connection between the two. So €40 or more topping up, no €1 administration charge. €39 or less, there is. Why not develop your own app? Okay, that's the answer to that. I'm not sure if the listener's going to be satisfied, but what you thought to be true is true. Ryanair boss Michael O'Leary said he wouldn't generally employ a lot of teachers to go out and get things done, and he said more accountants are needed in government than teachers. Joseph Higgins is executive member of the TUI in Donegal, and he joins us now. Joseph, why has this bothered educators as much as it has, and not just been seen as a throwaway comment by a maverick?
Look, it would have been easy to have seen it as a throwaway, comment, but it's very insulting to a very, very important profession within this country. A lot of people, I would like to think a lot of people in this country owe a lot to their teachers. You know, our teaching profession is one of the, in my opinion, one of the most respected professions. You know, it's one of the most respected professions in the country. To be fair to Simon Harris, he backed it up. He talked about previous Taoiseach that got this country out of an economic calamity. You know, whether everybody agrees with everything they did or not, Enda Kenny was a teacher. But it's not just that. Like, it's very easy to give out about a profession that's been underfunded by successive governments over decades, not just a small number of years. Like, if you look at what the spend is, the OECD average spend of GDP in education is 5.7%. 5.7. In Ireland, it's 2.8. We're crucially underfunded. And yet, if you look at how successful we are in terms of how we teach our students, you know, overall, out of all the countries that participate in the PISA tests, we're second in reading. You know, out of the OECD, we're top, and we're top in the EU. And like, if you take that, not just in reading and maths, we're well up there as well. And in science, we're well up there.
And all that in the context of, depending which area of teaching we're talking, is being achieved in some of the biggest classes in Europe as well.
We have, like, Greg, you know this better than most. Like, this conversation has been had before. We have some of the highest, class sizes. You know, we have rose as a union leader. I'm there going into bat for teachers all the time, telling teachers, you know what, you cannot take too many in your classroom. Like, if you were a home economics teacher and you take too many in your classroom and you have an accident in that classroom, the teacher is the person. You know, not the principal, because the principal will say, oh, the teacher took, you took those students. That's why we have directives that we expect teachers to stick to. But in terms of this, we have a teacher recruitment and retention crisis as well. Maybe not to the same extent in Donegal. The big issue in Donegal is getting teachers permanent positions, getting them CIDs. But in other parts of the country where we have, you know, we have a cost of living crisis, we have a cost of living crisis anyway, but we can't get them places to stay, you know. Like, Mr. O'Leary's throwaway comment, you have two ears and one mouth. Sometimes you should listen twice as much as you speak.
The thing that stood out for me, though, in that was not necessarily what he says, because, listen, he says a lot of stuff. It's the reaction in the room. Because, yeah, you know, teacher bashing is a thing. You know that yourself. The summer holidays comments, a lot of criticism towards to teachers about elements of the SPHE. You know, like, teachers, it almost, you get a free hit at teachers sometimes. That's what it feels like. And I was just slightly disappointed that there was not gasps in that room rather than laughter and cajoling.
Well, when people make throwaway comments like that there, and then people make glib, you know, the reaction, it's almost like you're playing to the mob. You know, to me, it just showed a lack of sensitivity, a lack of knowledge as well. You know, we all saw, like, it's almost like, you know, eating bread is soon forgotten. During the COVID crisis, teachers worked incredibly hard. Like, I was sitting in front of a computer for 8 hours a day. You know, you're you were going cross-eyed. Eventually, you found it was very, very difficult for the students, but it was extremely difficult for the teachers. Mm. But I'll tell you one crowd, or one, you know, portion of the population that were very, very glad to see schools back open again, and that was parents, because they realised how difficult it was. Number one, they weren't equipped to teach their children at home, and they struggled to cope with their children actually being at home.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever the schools opened up, there were many parents who were extremely glad to see teachers back in classrooms and children back in classrooms, as teachers were glad to be back in classrooms as well. And the value of the teacher was seen, to the highest degree during a crisis. And schools are what, you know, schools keep this country going in terms of we allow the parents to go to work, we teach their children. You know, we inform them, we prepare them for life beyond the classroom and into third level and beyond. Look, I think it was just,
Can I say one thing, though, Joseph? Like, there's an irony here in that there's going to be an awful lot of chat over the next 3 weeks. And you know, the TUI and other teachers' unions might have released press releases seeking some sort of a commitment from various parties going into government. And it would have been hard to get in the front pages and on the radio. In a way, I think, ironically, Michael O'Leary has done teachers a favour, because the issues facing the teachers and schools are on the front page of every newspaper. And we're having conversations like this where you're able to, you know, articulate the gaps that are there and what needs to be done right in the mouth of an election. So whilst Michael O'Leary might have thought he was getting a free swing at teachers, it's thrust the issues facing teachers onto the front pages and into people's minds. So I think he's done us a favour to some extent.
Well, let's put it this way. You know, if he did, he certainly didn't mean it. in terms of what we're looking for, like, I would broaden this issue out. You know, I was at a conference at the weekend on senior cycle reform or senior cycle redevelopment. And, like, we are looking at, you know, the complete revamp of our leave insert. New subject specifications, you know, a new assessment criteria. You know, much of which we want a greater level. Like, we're getting input in terms of the development of it up to a point, but I certainly don't want to see senior cycle redevelopment being a fait accompli with basically only a token measure of input from teachers, because the parents of this country and the children of this country will not thank us down the line if we don't tease this out, because the leaving certificate is a high-stakes exam. You know, we have one of the fairest exam systems in the world. We don't have a side door in Ireland, and we don't have a back door into college. You know, if you want to, you know, the Leaving Cert might not always be equal, because parents who have greater amounts of money can afford grinds to beat the band and have paid absolutely astounding amounts of money to help their children get on. But in terms of the education the children receive in class, it's fair and equal. And the Leaving Cert, in terms of the way it's marked, is fair and equal. And we, that their system has to be protected. You know, the unfortunately COVID resulted in great inflation, and we're gradually bringing that back down. And I know some countries have already basically just ended it. To be fair, I think gradually it needs to be brought back. I think the minister has done pretty well here. I think it's going to eventually level out, but we have to be careful now with senior cycle redevelopment that we don't reinflate it again. I think we have to keep that fairness and equality, and that's going to be an election issue too. Look, there are other things that are of very important to teachers, you know, that Michael O'Leary probably opened the door on this, but it was still very wrong of him to say that when the man doesn't know. I'd love to see him stand in front of some of the classrooms that teachers stand in front of in Ireland and see how he gets on.
Well, he has people on his behalf to stand in front of his disgruntled staff. He doesn't have to do it himself. Right. Okay. Listen, Joseph, thanks very much for that. As I say, you know, his comments are his comments. Michael O'Leary is Michael O'Leary. He says things to be controversial, but the reaction to what he had to say is the thing that sort of sits with me. Because he's almost trumpet, like he'll say anything, but you know, when you get cheering and laughing.
People are going to come around the door from various political parties, and like for Fine Gael, I would say we'll try and put this fire out as quickly as they can. I would be very surprised if they didn't.
Thanks so much for your time. Take care. That's Joseph Higgins, executive member of the TUI in Donegal. Good to speak to him. I hope the Taoiseach's convoy from Letterkenny to Ballybuffet this evening doesn't feel the need to use lights and sirens to get through traffic Letterkenny bypass. Maybe it's actually a good argument to argue for the relief road. Michael O'Leary is right about teachers taking up government jobs, says this listener. I've always thought to hold a portfolio, you should have experience in that field. Could I go to any other job in the country and have no experience in the field and get a job there? Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, we saw that recently with Michael McGrath. Micheál McGrath. Obviously, he went to Europe and they were hoping he would get a finance portfolio. Because of his background in finance, instead he got a sort of like a law and order type of a portfolio, which meant that he had to scrub on that. That's not his expertise, and he had to sit in front of a whole load of EU delegates over there and sort of argue why he was the right person for the job. So it's not just at local level. Sometimes people get put into jobs they're not qualified for. It's at a European level as well. Now, Brendan was on to say, from what I've seen from the campaign trail so far, there seems to be an awful lot of gaslighting from Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil ministers towards people on the street. It's obvious they need to champion things they feel they've done. However, when they're challenged on real issues, to use bonus fuel or children's allowance payments as a rebuttal to their failing on housing, mica, inflation and the health service, etc., it comes across as we owe them a vote. We owe them nothing. They are elected to serve the people who put them there in the first place. I'd also encourage all young or first-time voters in Donegal to get out and vote. It does make all the difference. I would agree with you on the last part there. The more people that vote, the better. Why are teachers not up in arms about Enoch Burke put in jail? Yes, of course, Greg, you're going to mention he can free himself. He's standing up against the woke ideology. The thing about it is I don't think he's doing the right thing. If he is incredibly passionate, his family are incredibly passionate about what they stand for, whether you agree or disagree, they're entitled to that view. He's serving no purpose in prison. He can simply say, and I know you said that I'm going to say what I'm going to say, but I'm going to add a little bit to it. He can purge his contempt and use his platform that he has. It's not just national now, it's international. And if he wishes to use his platform then to make that point, he's not going back to that school. That's just done and dusted. That's never going to happen. So he's sitting in jail for no reason other than the odd message saying why he's doing so. If he purged his contempt, he could be out and using his platform to further the agenda, if that's what he wished to do. Right, okay. I've highlighted the issue of e-scooters on footpaths with both the council and the Gardaí again. Nothing is ever done about it, and someone will end up killed or paralysed. I've been even asked the council to mark the footpaths and to put signs up. Something needs to be done before something terrible happens. And the bottom line is they should be on the road now. E-scooters are effectively push bikes. And they shouldn't be on the footpath. That's just the bottom line. They should be on the road. But then again, that creates its own dangers. How big of an issue is that in your area, be it Letterkenny or wherever you are listening to us today? A caller says, morning, would like to ask what's the best phone network price plan? It depends what kind of a plan you're going for. Look, there's a few of them. Sky are in there now. GoMo, there's that 24 company. A lot of them are all around the $14.99, $12.99 mark. You want to have no cap. I mean, there's always a fair usage policy, but no cap on data. But the most important thing about which network to go with, whether it's Sky or any of them for that matter, I won't mention any of them. Vodafone do SIM-only deals now as well, is if it's not your area, Vodafone, find out the piggyback carrier, right? So I don't want to mislead anyone, but I think GoMo's on the back of the air network. I'm not sure about Sky or Tesco or any of those. But where you are, it's very important that you have a phone signal. There's no point paying $12.99 a month if you don't have a good phone signal most of the time as to where you are. So find out what of the cheaper networks, what network they're piggybacking, and you'll have a better idea of what quality of reception you'll get, be it for data or otherwise. Okay, let's take a quick break. Back with more shortly. Now, as you might understand, sort of presenting a programme like this, you'd get quite a lot of contact from people. And it's not just always on air, it's off air as well. People that are in desperate situations. And I've tried to highlight this in recent weeks and months in individual cases, is there's an awful lot of people out there, and it seems to be often affecting women living on their own in their home with children, of being effectively made homeless. And I've three cases that were brought to my attention over the weekend alone. So the person's in situ. They get contacted by their landlord saying that someone's coming home or the house has gone up on the market. And, you know, as I say, I know three cases right now whereby in the three cases I'm speaking of, it's single parents with family that are being told they're going to have to get out of their home very, very soon. And there's an awful lot of it happening, but it's individual cases I'm hearing. But if I were to group it all together over the last couple of months, it's an awful lot of families. And I got this contact from a listener at the weekend. I'm renting in Letterkenny and I have a €400 hike in my rent, which is fair enough because it's market value, etc. At the moment, I'm paying €950 a month, which I can barely afford. I'm searching for other properties or even a bit of land I could put a mobile home on, but I can't get anywhere. I've a good enough job, but I can't get anywhere else to go. So basically, come January, I'll be homeless. My mother already has two siblings living with her because they've nowhere else to go. What can I do? On top of that, I've just found out that I have cancerous cells. I don't care about that, just that I might have nowhere to live. It's actually bad when you're hoping you'd die, because that would save me a lot of bother and my children would get death benefit and four times my salary. And that's a real person. Now, I did exchange with this person and they were feeling very low at the time of that message, but are a little bit more hopeful in secondary messages in terms of how they're feeling about themselves, if you understand where I'm coming from. But that's just one of three examples that I heard over the weekend. And there's many more, unfortunately. And I don't mind getting the contacts and we'll do as much as we can. But it's just really, really sad. Now we're going to stay with housing. We're joined by Mary. Hi, Mary. Good morning to you. Are you there, Mary?
Hiya.
Right, okay. Now, I'm looking at some pictures that were sent in to us of your current accommodation, Mary. Talk us through it. Talk about, for those listening in the radio land, so to speak, tell us exactly what the situation is.
Well, the situation is the place we're living in is not suitable for my children. There's mold and mildew on the walls. The place is damp, it's cold. I've got onto the council and I was on the phone the other day to the council and I said to her that I'm expecting my fourth child and that she said back to me then that when I have the child, let me and I'll add it to the file. And I said, that's no good to me because the place we're in, it's just not for my kids and it's affecting their mental health because they don't even have a back garden or nothing to play in. No. And they're all the time getting sick.
So currently you have three children and another on the way. How many bedrooms do you have?
I have two bedrooms, but there's one room filled with all the children's stuff.
Yeah. So effectively, you're all in the one room, and that's the room with all that mold that's on the walls. It seems to be all over the property, Mary.
Yeah, that's correct. We're sleeping in that room, yeah.
And are the kids showing any signs of respiratory illness or what have you? Because we're told that this is just not a very suitable sort of environment for anyone to be in, but particularly young lungs as they develop.
Yeah, my son was in hospital there not long ago. My second oldest, he was in hospital. He had to get stabilised. His oxygen levels were down and he had to be rushed to the hospital. And then after that, then he got COVID. But before that, that's when he started to have problems with his breathing. Mm. That's when I brought him to the doctor. I knew something was wrong with him. The place was making him worse.
And this is a council property. And as you mentioned, you got onto the council. They said they can't even look at the situation until your fourth child is born. Was there any reason given for
She said that. Because there's nothing more that you can do. And I said to her, I said, that's no good to me. What my kids is going through already, I just couldn't let my newborn go through it again.
And Mary, has they offered to come in and see what's causing the build-up of this harmful black mould?
No, I had you know those interviews where they just come in and look at the inspections, they're called.
Yeah.
The last one I had was about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And what did they say? I mean, I presume it's got worse since then, but did they give any commentary on it as to whether they'd come out and fix it, address what the issues is? I'm not sure if it's single days,
They haven't offered anything like that, no.
All right, stay with me. You mentioned you've spoken to Senator Eileen Flynn, who's with us now. Senator Flynn, I mean, this is not suitable for adults by the looks of it. Certainly not suitable for young children, and especially not suitable for children that are suffering with anything to do with their respiratory health.
Good morning, Greg. Can I just say, firstly, I'm working with at least five single parents here in Ardra to try to get them housed, and it's absolutely, absolutely scandalous. I just want to say that homelessness is beyond Dublin, Cork and Limerick. Homelessness is very, very real here in Donegal. We may not see people on the streets being homeless, but people are couch surfing, living in overcrowding accommodation, both in many different backgrounds. Around Mary's case came to my attention last January. The public health nurse rang me, and she was very emotional, saying that Murray is due a new baby, and that the two kids, they're living in literally one room. Now, I visited Murray's home, and I'm far from a local authority expert, far from it. Went into the house, the whole place is mildewed, it's damp, it's just not fit for purpose at all. Now, to be clear to your listeners, Mary is renting. She rented the apartment 3 years ago, but it was in the cold weather when the mould started coming through the walls, and she painted the apartment numerous times. I've wrote into the council, and with the support of Deputy Pringle as well, has also wrote into the council to try and get Mary homes. It's not about Mary. Mm. I'm more concerned for the three children with a gas heating. I remember her a few months ago, the electricity went off in the house here in Ardra. My first thought was those three children in that apartment. When I first went to Mary's apartment, the youngest baby was 9 days old. I had Billy with me, and I got the shivers through my spine thinking, oh my God. Now, Mary's landlord, fair play to her, has wrote to the council also. The council are taking no responsibility to home this woman. Now, we have many holiday homes in Donegal.
Just in relation to, because it can be quite confusing, why would the property owner contact the council? Is there not a responsibility here for the property owner, especially if they're receiving HAP, for they themselves to make this accommodation suitable to live in? Pardon my ignorance, Eileen.
Well, of course, the landlord interacts with Mary, but her herself is saying it's not fit for purpose. Mm. It's a two-bedroom apartment, and as Mary said, she has to use one of those rooms for storage.
Yeah.
The other room is where Mary and the three children are staying in. So the landlord said to me, after I contacted the council, the landlord was aware I was dealing with the case, and she got in contact, rightly so, saying that the house that Mary is in is not fit for purpose, the apartment. When Mary first moved into the apartment, as she said to me herself last night, it was like a dream. It looked absolutely fabulous. It, you know, and then it was when the cold months start coming in. And the thing is, Greg, the landlord can take a responsibility, of course, but again, it's up to the council. It's a safety for these three children. It's a gas heater. The heating that Mary has in that apartment is not...
So the solution, Eileen, at this point is that the call is on the council to provide suitable council-owned accommodation to a mum with three young children and one on the way. Is that the call on the council today?
Oh, God, yes. And, you know, I think it's important to say that, like, you are assigned and a liaison officer that works with individuals. And, you know, I'm not blaming that person. It's a system that we're all, that you're going into working in the council. And it's just absolutely appalling. Like, they've got very little to no empathy for mothers. Now, as I said, I'm working with another mother at the moment in Ardra, and she was offered a two-bedroom house along with two kids, one a girl, one a boy, and herself. Now, that's that, I just said to her, do not accept that. You know, that's actually against the law, because you're meant to have different rooms for different children with different genders, you know. Again, offering people just a half a short-term solution to a long-term problem. And even with Mary there, you know, she wants to, if you want to say, be settled in a community where she can send her children to school, attend her children to hospital appointments, etc. Look at Greg. I met the people from Mica on Wednesday. I was angry enough on Wednesday when Dara O'Brien wouldn't come out and meet the Mica group, okay, outside of Leinster House. That made me angry. When I got that phone call from Mary on Thursday, then Mary was told that she to contact the council after she has her fourth baby. I could bring you, with Mary's permission, to this home, and you would be the first to say it's now. She, those photos are not, doesn't even explain.
No,
half
but
the
I can imagine it.
I've
saw some of the. I can imagine how desperate it is, and I can also imagine what the heating arrangement must be to allow that type of growth inside. If you've got one gas heater drying the eyes out of you, but if you've got one gas heater in one particular room, you're going to get problems like that. There's absolutely no doubt about it. So, Mary, like, it must be very difficult for you, you know, dealing in such a confined space with three children. We love our children, don't get me wrong, but there's an awful lot of work involved in and keeping them occupied. But at the same time, too, you know, you're pregnant, you're carrying another baby, you know, there's always hope, but it must be difficult for you, Mary, because it must seem like there is no hope in sight. It must be very difficult for you.
Yes, it is. I'm very, very concerned for my three children, and I just hope to have a safe home soon.
Yeah, I can imagine. Okay, Mary, listen, thank you very much for helping us get the story out there. Senator Flynn, is there a particular problem in the Glenties electoral area in sort of trying to get attention to issues like this? I have heard that from elected representatives in the area, that sometimes it feels that a little bit too far from Lifford. Is that fair to say, or is this a problem in every electoral area around the county?
You know, Greg, it's not my, like, you know, roles in TDs and councillors have different, we have different roles. And I have to say, without the support of Thomas Pringle, I would be just banging my head off a wall constantly to support people with, like, driveways, you know, all that kind of stuff, homes, houses, and I'd know where to reach out to. Now, Thomas is really good at writing in letters for with me, showing me where to go and ringing up people that he has long-term relationships with. But you're right, it is, you know, it's that, like, I see it and I'm like, oh my God, it's like, and it's different in Dublin, Greg. Like, as your listeners would know, I have like strong relationships in Dublin as well. Like, here in Donegal, you know, they have little to no services for people who are homeless. You know, like, it could be an hour drive away to go to a homeless shelter if your child stays in school in Glenties. And again, like, it's just, we really need to highlight it between Mike, between people couch surfing, you know, and especially, as you said, Greg, single parents.
There's an awful lot of people just on the brink of homelessness. And as I say, I'm trying to, I'm not campaigning, it's not my job, but I'm trying to highlight it because I get contacted by
people. You know
people
what I learned, Greg?
In terribly disparate situations.
Sorry, I'll just say this before I go, right? Is when I went to Apollo House, right, we all know about Apollo House, we took over the building in Dublin, okay? I learned at a very young age that we are all, including you, including me, only 2-3 paychecks away from being homeless. you know, and that's every single one of us.
Unless nowadays, though, you, it's one phone call from the landlord. But I take your point, Eileen. I do have to go. I appreciate your time. Mary, I hope, I really genuinely hope there is a solution to your issue as soon as is possible. Okay, we've got so much more coming up for you in the next 2 hours of the 9 till noon show, but we are going to head to the news and obituary notices right now. Stay tuned.